Hello and welcome to the Pleasure Collective podcast. This podcast will help you to create a desire-driven, pleasure-led life, uncover the absolute gold that exists in your motherhood experience, and create synergy in blending motherhood and business. I'm your host, Regan Figg, wife and mama to three little wildlings, author of A Mother's Pleasure, and coach and mentor to women who want to create what they desire with pleasure. I'm honored to have you invest your time, energy, and attention in listening into the podcast. And I acknowledge the custodians of the land on which this podcast is recorded and produced, the Wadi Wadi people of Darawa land. Now let's dive in. Chapter 12, Parenting with Pleasure. Because I wanted to be the most selfless, devoted, in quotations, good mother that ever existed, which was well-intentioned but led to an unhealthy place for me and my family, I would prioritize my children's pleasure at every turn. If we drove somewhere in the car, I'd play the Wiggles. If I was planning the day, we'd do what the kids wanted to do. If I had some time and space while they napped, I'd fold the washing so I could be present for their desires when they were awake. If I was cooking dinner, I'd make what the children loved to eat. I made their preferences my priority. And whilst that's a no-brainer for a lot of the things as a parent, when we make someone else's preferences our priority all the time, we miss out on the pleasures of our own. I began to make small changes at first, playing my favorite playlist on the way to daycare, folding washing in the sun as the kids played outside, napping or doing something I enjoyed at rest time, donning headphones and strapping them into the double stroller to enjoy a podcast or audiobook. When I opened to reclaiming simple pleasures for myself, I was then able to give myself pleasures that felt more luxurious and even audacious. Feel free to borrow my simple pleasures mentioned in this chapter and add them to your feel-good guide. Now we're going to go deeper than enjoying ourselves by participating in self-care around our children. We're going to look at what can impact our experience of pleasure when actively parenting and mothering in general, and explore how we can make parenting and mothering in general more pleasurable. The motherhood we desire. When we stop separating pleasure and parenting, we get to create a more respectful, intimate, and loving connection with our children and experience the motherhood of our desires. Consider the times you've not felt proud of your parenting. Chances are you were feeling depleted, unsupported, drained, running on empty. As we know now, being able to access and receive pleasure is a major contributor to filling our cup and fueling our tank, allowing us to feel more nourished and resourced and less likely to react in ways we don't feel good about. As you start to prioritize your pleasure and weave pleasure practices into your life, you'll begin to notice a few things that change in association with parenting. Change number one. You'll feel more resourced. You'll feel like you have a much fuller cup. You will have a greater capacity to hold emotion and greater emotional intelligence. You will be more creative and think of novel ways to do things. You'll have a greater capacity to be with your emotions and therefore have a greater capacity to be with those of your children too, cultivating a greater sense of ease in parenting. When we are more resourced, we also have a much higher reactive threshold. What this means is that you're more likely to respond to your children instead of react when they do something that, in quotation, pushes your buttons. It means that there is a larger buffer between your children triggering an emotional response in you and you reacting to that event, which means you're more likely to take a breath, remain calm, not activate the sympathetic fight or flight nervous system, and respond in a way that feels aligned and respectful. This in itself allows for greater cohesion, stronger trust, and deeper levels of connection with your child, as well as any other intimate relationship. Change number two. You'll indirectly be teaching/modeling the importance of pleasure, self-worth, and self-nurturance to your children, and will likely notice your children creating opportunities for expecting and encouraging your pleasures. Not long after I started prioritizing my pleasure, my 2-year-old son started prioritizing my pleasure too. He started to point out sunny spots for me to sit in, offer me cups of, in quotations, tea he made for me, and suggest playing my favorite music in the kitchen on the mornings it slipped my mind. He was seeing the importance of my pleasure and enjoyed the energy it created in our home. He probably preferred the lift in my mood and began supporting me in it. Change number 3. When you have been honoring your needs, welcoming your desires, offering yourself pleasure, and owning your pleasure, you'll begin fostering a greater awareness of and stronger relationship with your body. When you are deeply connected with your body, you are able to easily access your body's wisdom, which includes information about relating to others, knowing your boundaries, making decisions, and accessing your intuition. For mamas, this one is huge. A mother's intuition is one of her superpowers. Along with a whole range of really flipping impactful strategies for making parenting pleasurable. Unpacking your triggers. In building greater awareness of your body, you'll become more aware of the times that you're triggered when parenting, the times that feel the opposite of pleasurable. You'll become really aware of where your boundaries lie before they're crossed, instead of simply knowing when they've been crossed and it's too late to respond differently. You'll be aware of the yellow flags before they become orange flags, before they become red flags, which again contributes to a greater reactive threshold. As we know from earlier chapters, most of our day is set by unconscious programs. And until we become conscious of those unconscious programs, we will keep running them. Meaning, what you believe about your children and the way you respond to them are mostly unconscious and unlikely to change unless you become aware of them. Think about what bothers you most when parenting / mothering your children. What really pushes your buttons, grinds your gears? Is it when your child seems rude, entitled, or impatient? When they act ungrateful? When they make a mess or make loud noises? Audio-sensitive mums with children who self-soothe with noise will know where I'm coming from. I invite you to notice how what triggers one parent might not trigger another, whether that be in your parenting partnership or amongst a group of parents. There's a reason why some things my children do cause me friction, but do not bother their father or another caregiver. Our children are activating unhealed parts of ourselves that we have previously rejected either consciously or unconsciously. I was self-conscious about being too loud when I was younger. So when my first toddler got excited and loud, which was often, I found it hard to embrace. Whereas his caregivers at daycare loved his, in quotations, enthusiasm. This was a prompt for me to heal that part of myself I had disowned. And because it bothered me, it was also something that I found myself focusing my attention on, both what I was seeing as a problem and what I hadn't healed in myself. Consider this. What is it that you feel triggered or activated by with your children at the moment? Why might this bother you? Is there a history of this story in your life? Does it open old wounds for you? Can you embrace the part of yourself that's been brought to the surface? Can you see how those parts of you have benefited you previously? Consider the drawbacks if that part of you hadn't existed. I began to embrace the loud part of me. I also stopped focusing on the parts of my child that triggered me the most, because when I did focus on them, I would fail to notice when he was doing or being the opposite. I wanted to find the evidence of a well-balanced child who wasn't just, in quotations, not loud, but chill AF. This seemed totally impossible and unlikely, but I focused on seeing him as chill AF anyway. And you know what happened? It seemed like he became a lot more chill. The thing is, he hadn't changed. What had changed was my perception of him and what I was focusing on. I noticed the times he was sitting quietly in his room, flicking through his books, albeit naked. I noticed the times he would come into our bed in the early hours of the morning and snuggle in. I noticed the moments he was listening to another tell a story. I noticed when he was the most settled kid at playgroup, even if only for a few moments. Whilst I am no parenting expert, what I know to be true from my own experience and from quantum physics is that when it comes to anything, what we focus on, we find evidence of. Activity 1. Shift your focus. Ever wondered why, when you're focused on finding money, you'll find it? Or when you've noticed someone is annoying, then everything they do annoys you? It's the same when you focus on your child's, in quotations, problem behavior. That's the thing you'll notice the most. It'll push your buttons, and it certainly won't make parenting pleasurable. So how can we shift our focus to something that creates a more pleasurable parenting experience? We consider what it is we want to see and experience in our parenting, and we focus on that. Journal prompts. Point 1. What do you want to find the evidence of in your parenting experience? Example, my kids listen. They rarely fight. I feel calm even when they make the house messy. Point 2. What do you want to notice in your children? Point 3. What do you want to witness in the way you parent them? Activity 2. Reframe your thoughts. Our time as parents of young children is limited, so we may as well do what we can to enjoy them, right? Here is a list of new, reframed thoughts crafted by myself or my clients that have been helpful in creating a life we want to find the evidence of. Perhaps some will be helpful for you too. You might have a hard time believing yourself to begin with, so you can either take baby steps, upping the ante each time, or do my favorite thing and times it by 10. I did this when I was changing the way I felt about the upcoming birth of my third child. The birth of my second was, as I called it, fast and furious. The experience I wanted for my third birth was a pleasant one. And so I timesed my desire by 10 and focused instead on having an orgasmic birth. By the time it came to birthing my daughter, I had found lots of evidence that her birth could be orgasmic and integrated the belief that this was available to me. I ended up having the most ecstatic birthing experience. I'll admit that it wasn't orgasmic, but it was a lot better than pleasant. Reframes you might like to play with include, "They're driving me insane" becomes, "I love this beautiful chaos." "I can't cope with this" becomes, "I can breathe through this." "Tidy house, tidy mind" becomes, "The more mess, the more I feel like myself." "I am so alone" becomes, "I am always supported." "Parenting is hard" becomes, "Parenting is effortless." Okay, you might like to upgrade this reframe one step at a time and add in between, "Parenting is getting easier." "My child is doing my head in" becomes, "My child is doing their best." Or lastly, "Fuck this shit" becomes, "This shit doesn't bother me." The more you can remind yourself of these new thoughts and repeat them, the more they become your default thoughts, and the more they become the reality that you believe and the evidence that you will find. It's not until you believe something is possible that you take action to make it possible. Don't believe me? Have a go for yourself. Some thoughts might take longer to change if they've been conditioned into your psyche and your body since you were really young. Others might not take long at all. It might not always be easy, but it is simple. Meaning matters. Whilst we know that the body is the portal to pleasure, that we can deepen our connection with the body to create a heightened sense of pleasure, experience sensuality, and more, what we think about something impacts the level of pleasure we experience in association with it too. Humans are essentialists, meaning it might not just be the taste, feel, smell, sound, or sight that brings us pleasure, but also the knowledge of where it has come from, what it's made of, the value of it, and what that experience means for us. It means that our pleasure can be affected by what we believe about the experience. Does the cup of tea that someone else makes for you taste better than the ones you've made yourself? Does 2 minutes of the sun on your face feel better during me time than it does during the school run? Does a handcrafted, gifted oil blend or candle smell even more delicious than one that you could just grab off the shelf from the store? The essence behind something contributes to the way we feel about it and therefore can affect the level of pleasure we experience. Paul Bloom speaks to essentialism and pleasure using the, in quotations, in bed analogy, where it's not just the physical experience that you have when having sex with someone that determines the pleasure you feel. What also affects your pleasure is who you believe you're sleeping with. If they turned out not to be who you thought they were, or their relationship status wasn't what you thought it was, that would affect your pleasure. For example, if the person you were sleeping with turned out to be your long-lost uncle, that will affect your pleasure. The same goes for wine. There's an age-old experiment where wine poured from a really expensive-looking bottle will be reported as more enjoyable than wine poured from a cheap bottle, even if they are of the same value or even the same wine. When it comes to pleasure, it's not just what is experienced that matters, it's what is believed. This goes to show that pleasure is not solely dependent on the sensations of the body. What we make things mean makes a difference to the level of pleasure we experience. So not only does it help to prioritize pleasure in parenting and motherhood, it also helps to consider what we can make it all mean. Society has a big role to play in this. The socially accepted role of mothering is unglamorous, monotonous, mundane, overwhelming, and hard. And yet we're also supposed to love it, lol. And as we know from the start of this book, social narratives are imprinted on us, conditioned and ingrained unconsciously throughout life. So because the meaning of an experience can affect our pleasure, and because we've likely internalized an unpleasant meaning about motherhood, it means that our base level of pleasure when mothering doesn't start at zero, but in the negative. It means it's harder to experience a pleasure-filled motherhood to begin with, because we assume that it isn't. Activity 3. Embody your values. So what can we do? We can change what we believe about mothering to something that improves the value of it in our minds, which requires effort, given that mothering isn't valued highly, if at all, in our Western society. Here's what will help improve your experience of pleasure in parenting. Point 1, consider some of your top values that you associate with pleasure. Maybe they are surrender, sensation, spontaneity, novelty, and creativity. Point 2, identify the ways that parenting, mothering, or being a mother allows you to accommodate or accentuate those top values. One of my top values in relation to pleasure is freedom. Society would have you think that mothering 3 small children is the opposite of freedom, right? But what helps me to experience more pleasure is deciding that motherhood is pleasurable and has an element of freedom. When I believe that to be true, I subconsciously seek and find where I feel free throughout the day. In Australia, we experienced months of lockdowns in 2021, and you'd expect that most mothers who had been home with their children not having their usual freedoms were feeling less free during that time. I knew that if I was going to get through lockdown in a way that didn't deplete me, in a way that I enjoyed, one of the things I would need to experience is freedom. So I began to notice where I could feel freer throughout my day. I'll never forget the feeling of freedom one afternoon after I pulled up to my mum's house to check in on her. My sons ran down the driveway to the back of the house while baby girl was perched on my hip. As I walked towards the back door, the breeze picked up and caressed my face, making my hair dance. I noticed my bare feet meeting the ground beneath them. I felt the piercing presence of the moment. I felt such freedom and pleasure. It was as simple and as complex as that. Activity 4. What wonderful things. Lastly, when we get conscious of and present enough in the here and now, we get to access a portal to infinite possibility. We have the power to choose the lens with which we see the world, see our children, see our family, and experience parenting. The more you can integrate this work, the more evidence you'll find of the reality you desire, the more you'll be motivated to continue to create it until one day, parenting with pleasure becomes more natural than not. My final invitation to you in this chapter is, be willing and curious enough to be open to the idea of unlimited possibility and start to ponder. Point one, what wonderful things might be playing out in this reality that I have missed? Point two, what wonderful opportunities might be around the corner? Point three, what wonderful support is available to me? Point four, what wonderful experiences with my children might be possible? Point five, what wonderful parts of my children am I not noticing? Quote, be willing and curious enough to be open to the idea of unlimited possibility. All right, my love, before I wrap up this episode, listen in because I have an epic freebie coming in January. It's called The Motherlode and it's all about uncovering the absolute gold that already exists in your motherhood experience. It's a week-long journey live with me to strike gold in motherhood. Not by getting lucky, not by trying harder or getting more organized, not by changing your children's behavior or your personal circumstances. We uncover the gold that's already there for you to feel alive and lighter and soothed and in total reverence of the riches in your life. It's completely free and you'll leave with tangible treasure finding skills and practical, simple strategies. Make sure you go to the show notes for the sign up link. Again, it's completely free and you're invited. It's been my pleasure to offer my book to you in a really accessible way. If you're loving the podcast and audiobook episodes, please do me a massive favor and share it with a friend or on your socials and leave a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. You can also order a Have in Your Hands copy from any good bookstores or your favorite book selling online retailer. In pleasure, bye for now.